I'm Robert Sickles, and I'm here with Kinda Kiefel, and this is the cold open number 40, the Army of the Dead edition. Now, Kinda, this is our eighth consecutive podcast about Zack Snyder, and I have to say, like, to make clear, we definitely intended to do seven in a row on the remade Snyder Cut version of the Justice League. I had no idea this movie was even coming out.
Me neither. Army
of the Dead, and then it came out, and I just figured like we should do this, and then we should probably be done with Zack Snyder for a while.
Amen.
The intention to have a Zack Snyder podcast. So, why don't you start us off and give us your initial impressions about Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead?
Absolutely. I didn't know that this was coming out either, but I would like to offer a public apology to Zack Snyder. And I know he's listening. So, but I feel like I have judged him so harshly, and our last seven podcast episodes have really taught me something. But with this, I was genuinely charmed and stoked about the choices he made. And I feel like you could feel him having fun, breaking free, even breaking out of his own tropes. I felt like there was a really interesting freedom to this. And it felt like everybody was just chewing on everything in the most marvelous way. So I think this is his best work. And I just genuinely loved it from start to finish. And we'll get into it, but the rewriting or the expansion of the zombie possibilities, even in a hierarchy, made it so freaking incredible and enjoyable. So I had so much fun because I felt like Zack Snyder was having fun. And from opening scene forward, I just absolutely loved, he's the king of updated covers of things. And that particular Viva Las Vegas made me cry. Super beautiful. But the Vegas as this wasteland established by those zombie showgirls and the zombie Elvis impersonator just made me guffaw. And just went from there. But I got to tell you, I'm a huge Dave Bautista fan. But Tig Notaro is the goddess of the screen for me and the scene stealer to steal all scenes. And that particular casting choice, but all the casting choices were freaking genius. But I just delighted in it. How about you? Tell me what you thought.
This is far and away my favorite thing that Zack Snyder has ever done. I actually really like his... He's made some cool videos. He did the video, I forget the band, it might have been Soul Asylum, that it was Somebody to Shove. He did that video years ago that I really like, and he did a Morrissey video that's pretty cool. But like his first feature, as far as I know, I could be wrong, but it was Dawn of the Dead. So this is kind of like the remake of Dawn of the Dead. So this is kind of a full circle thing for him. But I'm so glad that you mentioned fun. Let me just say my caveat, I am not issuing a public apology. The body of work is what it is, and Justice League is what it is. But this does not feel of a piece at all. It's almost like it, not made by a different filmmaker stylistically, because let's talk about the slow motion, etc. Like there was a lot of like the characteristic Snyderian touches, if you will. But the thing that I noticed about it, three things that made it stand out. It was fun. Like it was legitimately fun. I enjoyed it from start to finish. There wasn't that mock lugubriousness that he has, that somber tone. It was just fun and it was light. It was colorful. It was super, super colorful, which is not something we typically associate with Zack Snyder, especially in his more like superhero work, which is like gray. So it was colorful. And then there was tons of daylight. Tons of daylight in this movie. And Vegas is a really, like, even indoors, if the casino lights are on, it's not dark, right? But if it's outside, like, it's blindingly bright and colorful. And to show that, I just thought was really neat. So even though it had the stylistic touches that you know, I like about his filmmaking, he's an incredibly competent, like he's an incredibly skilled technical filmmaker. But this just had that a really light touch that I just enjoyed from start to finish. And I enjoyed the creativity around particular kind of kills. I enjoyed the infrastructure of a heist movie, like a zombie heist movie is just exactly what the world needed at this point in time. You know, obviously this was, I would assume, began before the pandemic. And it's, you know, it's like Palm Springs. It lucked into timeliness. Zombie movie, really particularly of the moment right now. So I really, really enjoyed it from start to finish.
Same. Even the timeliness of police brutality and bullying through taking someone's temperature, just all this, the big soup of now, and the strange politics sort of swirled up and mixed together, building the wall around Vegas and like the camps and the what refugees mean now, what the others mean now. It's all super, I that even felt like Snyder was like, had like just a fever dream of like awesome writing, I feel like. And it really, you're right. Stylistically, it rhymes with a lot of what he does, but I really feel like he got out of the way of himself and out of the way of, his normal tropes. And it showed in every scene. But I love what is set up, and I could not think about, Patton Oswalt's zombie spaceship wasteland and his friends like angrily and just really passionately debating the rules of zombies, right? And how this is just a beautiful elevation of what it means to have a king and queen, for the zombies to have emotions. I loved that. They loved each other, for the zombie fetus. Spoiler alert. There was so many fantastic breaks and breaking free of the cliches in the zombie space, and like oddly attractive zombies. And that zombie queen was freaking terrifying and beautiful. And even the soundscape and the sound design of it, the music seems pretty consistently great, but this was excellent. But more so the sound effects and the zombie sounds felt like a little different than usual. So I loved that.
So industrially, I think it's pretty interesting that this is set up at Netflix and that they gave him a franchise. There's going to be a prequel, there's going to be an animated series. And these are the kind of things, obviously, we think of Marvel and DC, and we associate him with DC, but I just don't know that those kind of opportunities exist in the same way at traditional movie studios, where they're going to write those big checks. You still might be able to land a superhero movie, but they're going to wait and see how it does before they're going to greenlight a franchise. So this just seems like, in a lot of ways, the future, especially given the success of the two recent Marvel TV series, et cetera. Just the environment is really changing about what we'll watch, where we'll watch, and how we'll watch it. And I, you know, I watched this with my 14-year-old son on a Friday night, and it was a glorious Friday night. We just had a really fun time. So let me ask you, in addition to the industrial question, just an interesting point in time that I don't think we're anywhere where we weren't going to be. I just think the pandemic exacerbated it. We were clearly headed this way. That's right. But I want to ask you, is he deconstructing his own work in the idea of superheroes and our lead zombie named Zeus, who puts on the mask and sports the cape? Like, is he making fun of himself? Does he have that kind of self-awareness?
I hope so. And I thought he was. I actually thought he was, even in the scene where is his name Tanaka, the boss who's like funding the heist and giving the instructions, when they are envisioning the glorious slow motion super gun shooting circle of them all, that felt like he was mocking his own like way, his own style, and it made me endlessly like happy and made him seem cooler, honestly. But can I say something also? Dieter, the wonderful German safecracker, I feel like might be your amazing 14-year-old son in 20 more years. I think he looks so much like him, and his like beautiful spirit and optimism. I'm like, yeah, there was a connection for me with your awesome son. Anyways, yes. Do you feel like he was sort of deconstructing himself?
I do. I wonder if like DC backed up a money truck and said like, pick up the franchise. We actually like the Snyder Cut. And I'm sure they didn't dislike it, right? It got a ton of press, a ton of buzz, and totally. Lots of attention, not just from you and me, but from everybody, right? It like sucked up the oxygen for a couple weeks, which is a lot in our contemporary moment. I'm sure we would go back to it, but publicly he said that he's done with superheroes. So in a lot of ways, I wonder if this is his like farewell to the genre. But here's where it gets weird, Kinda. I would love to see him more frequently adapt somebody else's work. I just like to see what, if somebody else wrote it, what would it look like if he directed it? If he brought like that Snyder touch to somebody else's work. Think of somebody like Martin Scorsese, and I'm not necessarily comparing the two, but you know, he's barely written. He's only written, you know, I think three or maybe four films or co-written. He's just been able to collaborate with people that have written scripts that he likes and kind of makes them his own. I'd love to see Snyder do that. That said, his next project is slated to be The Fountainhead. And it just like, yeah, he's doing Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead, which just kind of terrifies me and makes me roll my eyes at the same time. Yeah. It's just not a project that it's not that I don't want to see him do it. I don't think I want to see anybody do The Fountainhead.
Neither. Oh, that's so interesting, though. I do love the idea of, I do think he seems like a strong collaborator, and I would love also to see his visual version of someone else's piece. I think that's an amazing idea. The Fountainhead, that's kind of mind-blowing and very strange, but I am curious now that you've said that to see what he would do with it. But honestly, this was fun enough that it almost felt like someone else's script in a way, or again, like that him trying something else or getting out of his own way. But I could have seen this be an adaptation of someone else, and he did it so beautifully visually. But it to me was the writing that strengthened and made the like structure that I actually like that drove this and that I cared about immediately. You know,
even credit where it's due, right? He wrote it.
That's right.
Like at least he co-wrote it.
Yeah. So amazing. Yeah.
It's his first, like if he were to do The Fountainhead, it would be his first, I don't want to use the word real film, but like he has brought seriousness to the comic genre, but it's still like there's still comic books, right? Even The Watchmen is still it's not a farewell to arms. It's just not, regardless of what people make of it. So this will be like his first stab at serious filmmaking, I think, will be The Fountainhead. So I think even though I'm kind of dreading it, I'm also kind of fascinated by it.
Yeah, I'm super curious now that you've said, now that you've released this news. That sounds very interesting. And I do sort of envision him rising to the occasion in a very interesting way. And maybe he'll do what he did with this in the sense that he's able to get outside of his normal way and his darkness and his gray palette, because you're right, the color and just the life of this, ironically, in the zombie movie, the like heartbeat of it was palpable. And I do feel also like us following quote unquote normal people who are just really good at stuff is so compelling when like with his direction. I feel like there was some really great sort of equality. There was some good gender representation. And I felt like in many ways there was a little bit of a difference. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And I think while I'm not publicly apologizing to Zack Snyder,
okay.
I think it's fair to say that he has been in some ways mistreated critically. There is this idea that it much along the same lines as Michael Bay, where it's a deal like Michael Bay sucks or Zack Snyder sucks. No, neither one of them sucks. They're incredibly, amazingly talented people, just consummate masters of their craft. I just don't like their choice of material. which is very different than saying like someone sucks, right? He doesn't suck. I just don't like the movies that he's chosen to make, most of them at this point in time. And actually, I kind of like Michael Bay's films more than I like Zack Snyder's. There is a sense of fun.
There is, and joy, and there is a lot of fun, actually, and just a balls to the wall, like over the topness in an unapologetic, strange way. There was some of that in here, though, and
he's not super talky. Like, he's certainly done interviews and stuff like that, but I would love to sit down and talk with him and just love to know what he was thinking and what he wanted to do and what he hoped to accomplish. I just think he's really smart, and I think he's, like, again, a brilliant technical filmmaker. For me it's just personal. I'm not crazy about the choices that he's made. So before we end this, I gotta ask, where does this rank for you as concerns zombie movies?
This has won me, it's one of my tops now. So shockingly, I watched this morning, I have to tell you, at 5 a.m., which really helped the mind-blowing aspect just turn up to 11. But this might be my favorite or second favorite. It is so high, and I was so happy. Didn't expect it, and that, to be clear, that was the apology part, because I expected not to love it so hard that I was just, I think it's one or two for me. How about you? Where does it rank for you?
I don't know if it's that high, but it's probably anywhere from 3 to 5. I really, really, really like 28 Days Later. I love that movie. And that's like fast zombies, right? The idea of like fast zombies. That one was really, really good. And I also really liked World War Z. I liked it at the time. I made the mistake right after the shutdown last March of watching that. It was one of the first movies I watched kind of at home alone. God. And it was a terrible idea, but the movie's really, really good. So I quite like that. I like Shaun of the Dead.
That's my number one.
I'm not crazy about the classics, Kendo. Like, I appreciate Night of the Living Dead, the Romero films, but I don't think they're just not necessarily my cup of tea. They're of more interest as curios to me, of being able to make that successful film on such a low budget. Like, I'm more interested in the industrial story than I am actually watching the movies.
Yes. His Dawn of the Dead is the mall-based one, right?
Yes. Well,
be 3. I love that one. But I know what you mean. And you're right. There is like budget considerations, which you don't feel as much in this, right? It was some beautiful explosions and a lot of shiny budget stuff happening.
The special effects were great too. I know people had issues with what they saw as dead pixels, et cetera, which I didn't see, but I know some people saw them that watched it on super high res. TVs. I do gotta say, like, I would have loved to have seen this on the big screen. This is the kind of movie that would have been really, really fun on the big screen. We saw Quiet Place 2 yesterday on the big screen.
Amazing. Fun. Oh, that's great. So cool. I love that. It would have been amazing. And I feel like it would have been those audience experiences if it was like a little looser COVID times where we could all experience it together, where I feel like there would have been clapping. I feel like there would have been big laughs as a group. It would have been one of those communal, marvelous theater experiences, right?
And we are set up for a sequel, correct? We have the woman who is harpooned to the wall that we assume is going to be the next queen.
My queen. Yes, I love that setup. That's right. And Vanderobe, right, is the gent who's on the airplane. Yeah, Vanderobe. You're right that we see, I forgot that he survived. I was so delighted to see him limping across the desert.
Sequels set up, right? There's two different avenues that can join into one. So
that's right. And even even his daughter as the torch carrier. It's true. We might see another great one. And I do love the idea of where this can go. Yeah, that next queen, the coyote was a fantastic character. I felt like she got some great lines and she has a great voice too. So I would love to see her as Zeus's next queen. Can I tell you one of my favorite pieces was Siegfried and Roy's zombie tiger getting to just destroy that shitty head of security. That was so satisfying every time I saw that tiger, and it's such a beautiful tribute to Siegfried and Roy. It was so gorgeous. But also there's horses. I was like, this like presence of animal zombies, because I was like, oh cool, a tiger, and then Zeus is riding a horse at one point. I was like, zombie horses, blew my mind. It was just so good.
It was just fun, and Vegas was the perfect city to set it in, because Vegas already is the end times, right? So it just it's just the logical choice.
It's the end times. And also I felt like this may have been another visual joke, where I feel like the sort of swarming of zombies that we often see coming around, you know, the central person and starting to gnaw on them, I felt like that was a Vegas joke too, because it's like this zombie orgy situation. It felt like the debauchery of like zombiness rhymed beautifully with the like sin of Vegas kind of feeling. So I loved that. Even like the casino lights coming back on, and the sort of agility with which the zombies occupied those spaces. Also, can I tell you that the hibernating zombies was such a great touch and so creepy, but also like, yeah, what else would they do in their off time? But I just loved that sort of separation between the sort of worker bee masses that were hibernating most of the time, and then the thinking zombies that could like love and strategize. And I thought that was just so, so smart. And I just liked the world that it sets up for the hopefully sequel or multiple sequels, because I feel like that actually gives license to expand on the complexity of zombies, which I never expect from, you know what I mean, like there, even if there's rules, there's like three rules, but I feel like they got more complex as the movie unfolded, and that was really exciting to me. So
that's great. Well, Kenda, on that note, two things. One, I am going to Las Vegas day after tomorrow. Serendipitously, Las Vegas has been declared completely open as of today, as of June 1st. So we'll see how that goes.
Seriously,
not for pleasure, but there's always pleasure in Vegas, so that'll happen. Right. The other thing, I think it's for sure that our next podcast will be in person. And I'm really excited about that.
So stoked about that.
Way too long. Not that our audience cares, but we had coffee this week. We hugged. It was glorious. Like, it was just really neat after not seeing each other in person for a year or so.
Yes. I am so stoked about being in the booth and like sharing a space. It's going to be marvelous. But I have appreciated your strategizing the crazy Zoom recording universe. You've done so well, and I appreciate that. Do me a favor and try and get on top of that New York Statue of Liberty and do a Zeus pose for me. That was one of my favorite shots.
Maybe that New York statue, like that New York thing, it's like an homage to Planet of the Apes, right? It seems like
yes, the perfect absolutely. Kind of thing. That's right. It's like the smaller version. You're right. It totally is. And it's so beautiful that just like our sort of 3 degrees away monuments of the Vegas landscape is just a gorgeous touch. It's totally Planet of the Apes. Well played. Yes. Well, good luck in Vegas, my friend. Have a super good time.
Thank you, Kenda. Well, I'm Robert Sickles for Kenda Kiefel, and this has been the Cold Open Mini number 40, the Zack Snyder Army of the Dead edition.